Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Brewroots.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Matt.
And this is the podcast that brings you the stories behind your favorite beer.
If you aren't already doing this, shame on you.
Yeah.
Because we have been hyping it up for 3 weeks. And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't follow us and not staying up to date with the craziest, coolest beer news of all times, shame on you again. So like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
No, I think it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times.
Follow Brewroots at Brewroots.
Fuck the peace sign, load the chopper, let it rain on you.
Ooh. I don't know what that means. Yeah, so.
That's a J. Cole.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so anyways, if you aren't already doing so, please follow us at
Brewroots on everything. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can email us info@brewroots.com. Send us your DMs on Instagram.
Yeah. So we are at the second to last episode of season two. And I'd like to do a little reflection before we go forward. It's been a hell of a ride, Emily.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year.
We've gone through a co-host.
We've turned a co-host.
And we've gotten a new co-host.
Yep.
I've remained the only constant.
Oh.
We
started going weekly.
We're weekly.
We've interviewed a lot of people. You've interviewed a lot more people.
Secondary.
We've secured some big interviews for next year.
And we couldn't have done it without the people who are listening right this minute.
We appreciate you guys. It's brought in some pretty big names. We're not going to share those yet, but we're extremely excited for next year because next season is going to be some names that even some of you guys out on the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, maybe even the South have heard of. Maybe some stuff that you've gotten in the mail from us, but really pumped.
We've gotten listeners help us get interviews at breweries across the country. So we're talking with places in Texas. We're talking to places in Virginia. We're talking to places in California to actually like interview them, learn about the beer that's out there. And it's amazing. Like this was our vision. This was my vision when we first started and, it's being realized. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. And thank you to all of those who ordered your shirts on tap.
Yes.
That was really cool.
So we found out we're doing pretty freaking good at advertising shirts on tap. So
we're not making any money from shirts on tap. We're just sharing a discount code with you guys as a disclaimer.
So shirts on tap, if you use the promo code Brewroots, you get your first shirt for $5.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after the $5 promo code wears off?
So your box is $18 a month. You get a custom t-shirt from a brewery of your choice. The subscription is in 3 month installments. So you can get your first month for $5 and the next two are $18. So it's a pretty great deal. Custom to the fit that you like.
Exactly.
And yeah, some really cool designs coming out. So mine should be in the mail any day now.
Yeah. And I got one from Chicago and it's freaking awesome. So now I've gotten San Diego. I've gotten Chicago, and coming next, I'm really hoping it's Dallas because some of the ones are really, really, really cool, and hopefully we're bringing some of the shirts to Boston because Boston hasn't been represented, and we all know that Boston has a pretty damn good
pretty
beer
dope
scene.
Beer scene, yeah.
So that promo code, sorry, that promo code is Brewroots, shirts on tap, shirtsontap.com. Go follow them on Instagram, and yeah, get that shirt because honestly, you go to a brewery, that shirt's gonna be $25 and it's awesome. Please, I'm not saying don't go out and support your local brewery. Like, please go do that, but like
get a little discount.
Yeah, get a little discount if you can.
Yeah. So what are we drinking today, Matt?
So we are lucky enough that we are drinking beer that was sent to us. So one beer sent from Atlanta, Georgia. So scratch that one off the map.
Yep, so this is from Monday Night Brewing. This is called the Drafty Kilt. It is a Scotch Ale, 7.2%.
And thank you to one of our like awesome listeners, Maddie Bake 27.
Yep, Maddie Bakes 27 out of Georgia. I don't know if he's from the Atlanta area, but thank you, Maddie Bakes.
Maddie. Maddie. M-A-D-D-Y.
Oh, I thought it was Mattie.
No.
My apologies, Maddie.
Maddie Bake.
Thank you, Maddie Bakes.
No, it's just Maddie Bake.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
Because I wrote it down.
Well, Maddie, we appreciate you. We're really excited to try this. I'm going to give it a crack right now.
Yeah. And fun story about Maddie is she went to school in Georgia, so she has a pretty good idea of the Georgia. I mean, she lived in Georgia, and now she lives in Maryland, so we're going to be getting some beer from Maryland from her as well.
This smells amazing.
Yeah. Do a little sip-a-roo.
And you know, I'm a little bit kind of cautious when it comes to like barrel age things, but
don't be.
We'll just give this one a shot. And the foam is really beautiful.
And we are not drinking out of glasses because we're going back to.
Wow, I'm a fan of this. Yeah. This is, you know, the notes are, it's supposed to be a little bit dark, rich, smooth, and smoky. But, you know, it's not overly smoky, and it's got a little bit of sweetness to it that I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Good on you, Monday Night Brewing.
Yeah, I'm definitely about this.
This is like one of those cans where if you're in like the liquor store or your local market, if you don't have liquor stores like we do, I would buy this can just
yeah,
based upon
pretty.
How cool it looks. So it's got like Argyle ties on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice blue, cool font. It's overall like really cool, very simple, but
nice design.
Nice design. The second beer we have is from Virginia. And who sent us this, Emily?
So beerme.now sent us this. We've been following this account for quite some time. Really excited to get this one. This is from Champion Brewing Company.
And I think it's called 800,000 Damage.
No. Yeah. The packaging is a little confusing.
It's called Melee.
Yeah, the Melee Session IPA. This one is coming in at 4.2%. It is a toned down close quarters version of their IPA. So it's an easy drinking hoppy American pale ale, and it has Citra and Amarillo hops, and apparently it has an extra citrusy taste. So
I'm going to give this a crack. As you guys know, I love hoppy beers. Hell yeah. That's delicious. So it's a nice session. That's awesome.
Oh, wow. I see why they call it the Melee. I like that.
Yeah,
yeah, it kind of punches you in the face, but in the right way. Like, it has a really, really distinct smell. I can taste the Citra in there. It's great. I'm feeling the Melee.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Maddie Bakes 27, and
beerme.now.
It's so nice to get beer mail. It's like, you have a crappy day at work and you get beer sent to you. It's like the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
So come trade with us because we still have like.
We've got lots to trade.
31 more states and we have lots to trade.
And also a very honorable mention to NTX_beer who also sent us some beer from Texas.
Oh my God. I give me a second just to talk about the beer that he sent us.
This was that creme brulee imperial
yes.
stout, right?
So this beer is from Three Nations Brewery. Three Nations is in Farmer Branch, Texas. That's a real town, Farmer Branch.
Farmer Branch.
I would love to meet Farmer Branch. Do you think he was a hell of a farmer?
I'll bet he's a hell of a dude.
Maybe he's dead. We don't know. So
R.I.P.
We never rate beers. Unless you go on our Untapped, where
you might find a couple weird ones that Matt did after a couple of drinks that, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, but in general, it's our rule that we don't like to review beers.
Yes.
But this one, you were just, like, glowing.
Yeah, this
you
is
had
perfect.
To do it.
So, this is the Creme Brulee Imperial Milk Stout from Three Nations. It's called Devote, and I'm devoted to this beer.
You're a devout...
I'm devout, devoted, whatever.
You're a devout drinker?
I'm a devout drinker.
Cool. And we're going to be getting a little bit more of that too, so I'll get to try it.
It's so good, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. The only reason I didn't give it, like, I was like, this beer is probably not going to be good because it's creme brulee, and I don't like creme brulee as a general rule of thumb. Yes, come at me. I'm sure there are people out there that are like, oh, I love creme brulee. I'm sorry.
I'm more of a flan person myself.
I love me a good flan. This was killer. It was so good. It was gone within a couple seconds.
Well, I'm excited to try it.
You should be.
What's been going on in your life? What's up?
Nothing. I'm lucky enough that I work a job that shuts down for 2 weeks during the holidays. So it's hella busy right now because everyone's trying to get everything in before the end of the year. So I'm definitely looking forward to that shutdown. And I'm burning some PTO right now because I waited till the last minute to burn PTO. Sillily, like, I'm regretting doing that now. I should have done it when it was really nice out instead of 4 degrees out like it is right now. But otherwise, everything's great.
That's good.
Yeah. What about yourself, Emily?
Life is good. I started a new job. And we get unlimited PTO, which is really nice because you don't run into that situation where you feel like you have to use it up before the end of the year. And then all of a sudden you're kind of gone in the winter at the end of the year.
Use it or lose it, baby.
Yeah, it's not a use it or lose it. It's a use it when you need it. Talk to your manager and, you know, make sure you get your work done kind of a situation. So really excited. Awesome opportunity for me. So I've been like ramping up on that for the last couple of weeks, but I'm not going anywhere in terms of brew routes. Very excited.
Yeah, because there were rumors online.
About what?
Emily jumping ship and all this. No, I'm just kidding. There were no rumors. I can't wait till I want there to be rumors. Please start rumors about us.
Well, there were the rumors that we were dating, but we had to kind of dispel those. And people got pretty mad about that episode title, which I was kind of loving. I was like, oh, it was relishing.
Yeah, if you got mad about that episode title, just wait till season 3.
Yeah.
We're going to blow your socks off. All right, so another thing, though, is that kind of blew my socks off, no joke, is I interviewed Pipe Dream Brewing last week. And this is the first time I've done a roundtable interview with three people. So we used all four of our mics for the first time.
Yeah, we got new mics. So now we can interview even more people at a time. Yes. Hopefully, it'll work out to the point when Matt and I are interviewing together that we won't have to, pass the mic back and forth. That's always awkward because you and I have, power struggle for sure.
Yes. So,
but that's what makes us such a good team.
Yeah, we can kind of feel when someone's going to ask a question or
we just give each other the eyebrows pause. And then sometimes the guests will get a little bit confused, like, is everything all good, did we lose audio, and we're like, no, we're just having a struggle right now,
we're incommunicado.
Yeah.
Pipe Dream Brewing, it was awesome. Londonderry, New Hampshire. I got to speak with John, Frank, and Curtis, three awesome dudes, and we got to hear about their brewery because, truth be told, I did not know a lot about Pipe Dream. And when we kind of got in communication on Instagram, John and I exchanged numbers, and I was supposed to do an interview the day after Thanksgiving, and unfortunately I had a family member had to go to the hospital. Everything's good
now.
Oh
yes, he was so nice.
Yes. So yeah. What really struck a chord with me is he reached out to me when I canceled, and instead of being like, oh, he's probably canceling because he's got something better to do or taking this seriously, which it wasn't one of those situations at all. It was like genuine.
He was like checking in to see if your family was okay.
He checked in on me like for 3 days and was like, anytime you want to do the interview, night, day, like, I'll accommodate you, drive down to your place. And I was like, dude, this is why we talk about it all the friggin' time, but this is why the craft beer community is incredible. So
I feel like it just brings good people.
Yeah. So either
genuine
if you
people, and you'll love the stories that they have to tell. Yeah. This was so unique because I feel like Pipe Dream, I was telling Matt earlier, is one of the only breweries where we've talked to members of their team and they actually have a team member who is the artist for their can art. So this is a guy who, I won't give away his whole story, but he went to art school. He's got this really cool interest in art, but then, you know, things kind of took this turn for him in life, and all of a sudden, you know, almost 20 years later,
yep,
he's doing art for a living while also being their assistant brewer.
I'm gonna just give you a sneak preview, right? If you think they're called Pipe Dream, everyone's story is truthfully a pipe dream.
Yeah, it's cool. They all have really different backgrounds, and we do see that a lot when you look at the teams on these newer breweries. How old is Pipe Dream again?
I think 3 years old, and they're not super old.
Yeah, so on the newer teams, you know, everybody's got kind of diverse backgrounds. You'll usually have the person who's really skilled in the business side, then you have the guy who's just the recipe guy, he's the real beer expert, and then maybe you have someone who's really good at building teams and ops and things like that. And these guys have really interesting backgrounds that kind of brought them into this mix, and I liked the just how much they fuck with each other. They were dude, we have the best team ever.
Yeah.
And that's all you can hope for, is working with people that you love.
Yeah, it's very cool. So let's not tell you too much about the interview. Let's just get into it, because it's a little bit of a longer one. So
You say that every week.
This one, truthfully, is a little. This is a longer one.
Yeah, but that's fair. I mean, it's cool to hear like how they took inspiration from other breweries coming up on the scene in the past 5 years and all of that. So,
and next week we are doing the Brewery Awards. I don't know if that's actually the name. Like, I literally just thought of that on the second. Like the Dundies, but like the breweries.
The breweries.
Yeah. We're not really. We're just going to rate our top 10 beers of 2018.
And then we're going to listen to your shout outs. People have been submitting their favorite beers from wherever you guys are from, all over the country, and other various shout outs and things like that. So if you want to submit your shout out, you still have a couple days. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe not a full week, but you have until next Wednesday.
Yes. And last announcement before we go into the interview, if you want to meet myself tonight, that's Matt. I'm the handsome one. You can meet me at Mighty Squirrel Brewing because they're finally opening their doors.
We are so pumped for Mighty Squirrel.
Yeah. Also, like, who really cares if you want to meet me?
It's more about come to Mighty Squirrel. And is the climbing wall going to be ready?
I don't know. I'm definitely climbing, though.
Well, they're supposedly, I don't know if it's, if that side of it is ready or not, but there is a climbing wall that's going in at Mighty Squirrel. So they are in Waltham, Massachusetts. You should be able to find them if you just go to their Instagram, and you know, all the information is on their website and their Facebook page. So hopefully you'll get to meet the handsome one.
Yeah. And now on to the episode. All right, we are here in New Hampshire, everyone. What's up? What's up, New Hampshire? 603.
Londonderry, baby. Londonderry.
That's right.
Not 603. No, Londonderry.
I know, but the 603 state. It's the only freaking area code. You guys are that lame.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Massachusetts has like 13. Yeah, but we also have like 10.
A lot. A lot more people.
Yeah, you're right. All right, and I am here at Pipe Dream.
Sorry, I was sipping my beer.
Yeah, it's fine.
My
we
bad.
Have quite a bit of beer.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Pipe Dream Brewing, baby.
Yeah.
Woo!
And I am here with John, Frank, and Curtis. So right off the bat, we ask this question, everyone. Your role here at Pipe Dream, well, we don't ask what's your role at Pipe Dream because not everyone has the role at Pipe Dream. You guys do. Am I right?
What I'm doing at Pipe Dream?
Yeah,
what do I do on a daily basis at Pipe Dream?
Yeah. And your first memory of beer?
First memory of beer.
Which order?
Whatever order you want. This is kind
of
like,
so my first memory of beer would have to be when, so I joined the Marine Corps as a kid. I went from drinking Natty Ice to being stationed in San Diego, California, to drinking just amazing craft beer that I had no idea about. I've never saw it in my entire life. That was my first craft beer moment, or just a beer moment, I would say, because I mean, if you consider Natty Ice beer, then you suck. But moving on, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
In your role here.
In my role, I'm a painter. I'm an electrician. I am a carpenter. Anything that happens to do with Pipe Dream Brewing, it needs to be done. That is my job.
Yes. That's my favorite answer. I love when you hear that. You know, what's your role on the website?
My role, I'm CEO.
Yeah, CEO. So it's so awesome when you hear a CEO say, "Hey, I clean the kegs. I do all this shit, right?" It's your hands
are
in the product.
That's what it takes,
yeah,
man.
I
do what it takes.
Yep.
Well, I'm Frank. I'm the bar manager. First beer memory, probably be the house party at one of my friend's parents had, and they remember they had St. Patty's Day, so the beer was green. So that my memory.
You know,
just
it's classy
stuck.
When it's green.
Well, he was high as a kite too.
Probably.
So
probably at the time,
it was green.
It was
for 16. Other reasons.
But yeah, just remember the beer being green, and we put it in like 2 gallon jugs, and like I hid it in the woods from his parents so we could drink it later on.
Yeah.
Just green beer. Just horrible green beer.
That's awesome.
So I'm Curtis. I'm the assistant brewer and the artist for Pipe Dream Brewing. My first beer memory. I was actually at a pool party. I was 5 years old, and I went to get a soda, and I went into the wrong cooler, and I pulled out a Coors, and opened
Coors
it.
Light, or was it
no,
just
it was,
Coors?
It was a Coors,
like a banquet.
The banquet of beers.
Oh shit!
Ooh. Yeah. And before I got 2 or 3 sips in, an adult caught me and was like, "No, that's not soda." But from then on, I had the taste of beer. And my first craft beer was actually a Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Okay.
When I was 15, me and my pop split one. ever since then, I love craft beer.
Yeah, Jim's a big listener of the podcast, so shout out to Jim LLC.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, Jim Cook, great guy.
No, he's not. He doesn't listen. He's denied me 14 times. I think he's there.
Has he really?
No. There's a restraining.
He's a really nice guy, though.
No, he is. We shook hands. It's cool, but he's just too busy. Nice. Whatever.
So that's all I have to do is shake people's hands?
You can shake whoever's hand you want.
They love me for that?
He's revered. I don't know. But we shout him out when we can, right? Why not?
There you go. Why not?
All right. So how did you guys meet? Like, how did you guys, friends growing up or Tinder? I don't know.
For me, I'm John's uncle.
Okay.
So, yep. Family. Okay. Family. Family's involved.
Yep.
Well, family's been involved since day one. Frank didn't come on in day one, but he did come in very quickly.
Okay.
Honestly, I was bartending one day at Pipe Dream Brewing, and we were just serving beer, and Curtis, the assistant brewer now, was just sitting at the end of the bar, drinking beer, hanging out, loving the Pipe Dream vibe, and which I hope you can hear in the background, that reggae tone. Shout out Reggae 360, because that's the guy that does all the reggae around here. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
Yeah.
Anyways, he was over there just drawing on a napkin, like literally drawing on a napkin, and I saw it. I was like, what are you doing over there? And he's like, I'm drawing a picture of you. And I'm like, well, that's creepy. and then I saw it, and I was just like, it was a picture of me drinking a beer, and I was like, wow, like, that's, you have a lot of talent, dude. Have you ever thought about using that talent? He's like, well, yeah, I'm going to school for it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm like, have you ever thought about, maybe getting a side job or, working at a brewery? And he's like, well, not really, but I would be interested. And that's kind of how it kindled. That's kind of how it started with Curtis. And
yeah, indeed.
He's been extremely valuable to Pipe Dream Brewing. And I'm just – I love that he's here. Frank, he came in on as a bar manager. He came into a pinch, really. We needed somebody that I could trust. I need someone that I can trust here at Pipe Dream Brewing. And really, I mean, I'm sure every brewery kind of comes across this at one point in time. Just some sort of, who can I have out front, or who can I have in front of the customers to represent our beer when I'm not here. And I know, as of lately, I haven't been around as up front as much as I used to be, but that was me. Yeah. I was always up front.
So
I would brew, and then I would go up front. I mean, and a lot of breweries still do that to this day. And it's honestly, I give a lot of credit to those guys, because that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's 16-hour days every day. It's a lot. So Frank came in and he took that role, and he ran with it.
Nice.
He's done more than I ever thought about. Dude, we have a badass crew here at Pipe Dream Brewing.
I think that's what makes this place really special.
We have a good
crew of people.
Ass crew.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do.
Like, just people that have a genuine love for – it's not just my Pipe Dream anymore. This started off as my Pipe Dream, and it's become the employees' Pipe Dream. And it's amazing. I fucking love having you guys. I love it.
I love being here. We've all bought into the vision, so I think that's the most important thing. In order to have as kick-ass a crew as we do, you really need to buy into the vision. And John's vision was one that I found very easy to buy into. So I love being here, man. I'm working my dream job. I was working overnights. I was doing third shift working Shaw's, stocking groceries before I started brewing beer. So no prior brewing experience. Just as a hobby, I would visit craft breweries. And I came in here, fell in love with the vibe, loved the beer, loved where the beer was going. And, just super, super excited to have the opportunity to be a part of it.
Cool. If you guys didn't hear the counting in the background, we have a flight of 16 beers in front of us that we're going to try to consume.
Shout out Brew Roots for coming here.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Hell yeah.
All right. So kind of the way we set up the podcast, we want to know the before, what's going on right now, and then a little bit into the future of what's happening at Pipe Dream. So obviously you guys didn't grow up, tell your parents, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? And you say, I want to own a brewery. So what was the kind of like the initial plan? And how did you get into this industry?
This one I just fell into, sort of, yeah. I worked in the corporate world for like 16 years, working in TV news and doing audio like you're doing here, like, and you know, doing photography and stuff like that. And then this is kind of, as someone comes in and takes a shot right now with my camera, this is great. But yeah, just really fell into it, and there's just the culture around beer is just like nothing else. It really is an opening, you know, open. Everyone's open to you, you know, trying different things and experimenting, and just been really great. Just fall into it and just learning as I'm working and trying different breweries, and just, yeah, it's been great.
Cool. John, what about yourself?
Plan A. Oh, well, Plan A, of course, was what my parents wanted. I was supposed to go to college, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what everyone's supposed to do? Like, well, I went to college out of high school. Just community school. I'm not the brightest bulb in the world.
Are you local?
Local
to the area?
Yeah, local. I went to Northern Essex. You know, I went there for the first year, and I did great. But it's just school was never for me. Honestly, I didn't really know what was for me. But I thought that, you know, with 9/11 and everything that was going on, I was like, you know, I'm going to serve my country. You know, I thought that was maybe a better route for me. Let's see what that brings for me. Let's see what kind of door that opens for me. So I joined the Marine Corps. You know, I got stationed in San Diego. Hell yeah. Beer Mecca. I was like, this is awesome. Like, there's going to be badass bitches everywhere, right? Like, this is where I'm going. Like, I didn't know anything about beer. I was like, there's going to be, like, bikini girls everywhere. Like, I'm going to San Diego. Hell yeah. So I got to San Diego. That's where it started, like, my craft beer. Just, I fell in love with it there. So San Diego happened, and I fell in love with it there. I just started homebrewing, I guess. Like, I started homebrewing. And then I got out of the Marine Corps. You know, I got out. And then I was a federal correctional officer in Devens for a while. It was a good job, good fed job. I got paid well. And it was just to a point where, you know, I can't do this the rest of my life. It's not my personality. I put my 2 weeks in, moved on. And I actually started to become a state trooper in New Hampshire. And I'm not saying I became a state trooper, because by no means did I. I had too many speeding tickets as a kid, apparently, to them, 9 years ago. It's too many tickets. So, I mean, to be frank, the first thing that went through my mind when I got the deny letter, I went through a lot of the process. It was like 3 months of processing. And I thought I had it. And the first thought in my mind when I got that letter in the mail saying that, you know, sorry, but we're moving on, blah, 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 is that, fine. You know, if I can't take drunk drivers off the road, I'm going to put drunk drivers on the road. And that's horrible. I mean, that's a bad thing to say. But that was...
That's terrible.
That is the first thing that went through my mind. That is the God honest truth. I can't lie to you. By no means do I promote drinking and driving. By no means do I say, you know, come to Pipe Dream Brewing, get drunk as you want, and I'm going to let you go. That's not how it works here. But that is the first thing that went through my mind. You know, it was just, I was disappointed. I was super upset with myself and, you know, the system and whatever, you know, whatever. But, you know, I quickly moved on from that. Like, within a day, I was like, you know what? Well, that's not going to work. So I want to open a brewery. Like, I'm only getting younger and older. I've had a few beers. And I just... Let's pursue it. Let's see what happens. And, I went to the state of New Hampshire, and I opened an LLC to open Pipe Dream Brewing. And, you know, obviously I named it Pipe Dream because it was always a pipe dream. You know, I never thought that it would ever happen. So that's where really it was born. I quickly realized that I couldn't afford it by myself. So in comes my business partner, which we call him Old Man John. He's not here right now. But Old Man John came in, and he saw apparently something in me that no one else saw. He drank the homebrew that I had. And apparently, I got him drunk enough to trick him into opening a brewery. And within 9 months, we opened Pipe Dream Brewing after that. Well, a little over 9 months. It was probably like a year. But right around there, you know. I guess that's my story on our... Yeah. little long, short kind of.
That's still an important one, though, right?
Yeah, right.
I guess.
Curtis, yourself.
So I originally went to college to become an illustrator. From a very early age, I knew that art was my thing.
Can we just talk about the can art you guys have here? Is phenomenal. So
I really appreciate
incredible.
That.
It's an amazing job on that.
It's awesome work.
Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Every time
we're
up in the office,
that.
He's working on another one. So he's constantly working on it. It's great.
That's awesome.
Oh. Sorry, Curtis.
No worries. Every time we have a new beer, there's a new label that needs to get done. So
that's right.
I have a lot of fun doing it, too.
You've seen the Naked Twister one, right? Please tell me it's
yes,
new.
Yes.
I can't believe that was approved by the state of New Hampshire.
I can't either, to be honest, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love that it was. So I knew from a very early age that I wanted to do something in art. Art was like a natural talent for me. School, I hated school, you know, but art was liberating for me, so I wanted to go to school to be an artist somehow. So after high school, went to the Art Institute of Boston as a commuter student, actually. I live right here in Merrimack, New Hampshire, and I would commute down to Boston every day to become an illustrator. Did that for 6 years and eventually ran out of money. Could not finish the degree, but I got all the art classes I wanted out of the college, so got everything I wanted to out of it. But had to start paying off student loans after that. So just got a job working for a local supermarket, Shaw's. I worked just about every department in that store. Worked there for 14 years just trying to pay off student loans. Eventually took a second job. Started working overnights, stocking groceries. Took a second job as in a part-time art teacher at a local charter school in Manchester. The charter school thing didn't work out. I learned that I am not built to teach anybody that's not high school or college level. I can't. Yeah, I don't know. So I didn't get brought back. Started another job at a tobacco store while still working third shift. And while I was at the charter school, I found Pipe Dream Brewing. Became a regular drinker here. Became a member here. We have a great membership program. Shout out to all our members. We have over like 200 now. I was 008. I was one of the OGs, man. So became a member. And like John said, you know, I came in one day, looked like John was having a rough day. Thought I'd maybe cheer him up. Drew a little caricature of him on a napkin. He loved it. And he asked me if I wanted to start doing some artwork for him, just posters, things like that. So I was doing that on the side. I was still working third shift working the tobacco shop. And like November of that year, he calls me up and he's like, you know what, we are growing. He's like, we're going to need to bring people on. He's like, we have a solid crew of like family and ownership right now, but we really don't have any full-time employees. But we're going to need full-time employees, and you're like the first guy we thought of, and everybody in the crew agrees we want to bring you on. And very next day, I went into Shaw's, put in my 2 weeks notice. I did finish out the year for them. You know, I didn't leave them high and dry, but as of January 1st, 2017, I started full-time working for Pipe Dream Brewing, and eventually, a few months later on down the road, I was able to drop the tobacco shop as well. So this became my full-time job. But it was more than that. I felt like I was born to do this. This is my, you know, as soon as I started doing, you know, can art and things like that, this was the perfect combination of my dreams. You know, doing art and beer. Like, I love beer ever since.
You can tell this guy likes his job.
Oh, dude,
you can
tell.
Yeah, it's great.
I love it, man. Ever since I turned 21, my hobby was to visit other craft, you know.
Well, he
like
fits the part, too. Look at him. He's got a beer.
Oh, yeah, you're the perfect. You're the
so.
People come in and you're like, oh, do you own this place?
No, I don't.
Yeah, look at him. Of course he does. He's got the beard. He's got everything.
So, you said you homebrewed before. Did any Frank or Curtis, did you guys homebrew before?
I did not, no.
No prior experience. I learned how to brew under John's tutelage. Yeah.
So, John, who is somebody that kind of was, you know, who did you learn under? Did you kind of all self-taught? Or
Homebrewtalk.com.
Okay, so forms and everything. Yeah.
No, honestly, that's honest.
That's the first answer I've got, I'm sure.
I have never worked in an industrial or like a commercial brewery. I've never worked at a commercial brewery. I have never worked under someone's arm. And, you know, honestly, when we first opened, that was very, very apparent. There was a lot of things that I was way off on. And it was a learning curve. And to be completely honest with you, I want to tell everybody that because, you know, I am not going to try to hide anything. I'm a very, very honest person. And I learned from knowledge of reading online everything. I mean, in books and just experimenting. And to be quite honest with you, fucking things up and making mistakes and fixing it. And like, okay, why does this beer not taste the way what I was projecting? You know, what can I do to fix that? What can I do to enhance the hop flavor? What can I do to – and I'm still doing that every single day. So, you know, our IPAs, our beers, are, you know, we're not New England style, and we're in the New England style era right now in our area too. And it's just not how I brew. It's not – and at first I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And now that I know that – I'm not a New England style brewery, and maybe that hurts me, but you know what? I know at night that I can sleep with myself because I'm making West Coast beer. Like that's the beer that I fell in love with, and that's the style that I have fallen in love with. And you know what? The West Coast style IPAs, double IPAs, are fucking bomb.
Yeah, I don't see one single hazy IPA here.
There's nothing hazy. Yeah. And at the same time, we don't filter. So if you go out in town and you have a West to East IPA, which is our flagship IPA, which is dominant Citra and dominant Amarillo, a little bit of Chinook. I love that Chinook. we don't filter our beer. So, of course, they're going to move kegs around, and you're going to have a little bit of cloudiness. Yeah, it's a little bit of sediment. Some people will mistake that. They will mistake that for something that is not, you know, like a double IPA or a New England style double IPA. And most of my beers are, they go for clarity. I mean, obviously not my stouts. I mean, give me a break. But, you know, I'm talking, you know, double IPA, IPA, our blonde ales, our lagers. I started lagering now. I mean, I'm here to have fun. But I brew a West Coast style beer. And you know what? The West Coast style beer can be absolutely phenomenal. It doesn't need to be hazy to be juicy, baby. It doesn't.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
So you just mentioned stouts. I had to like turn the list. I'm drinking the Blueberry Cobbler Sour Stout. Can we talk about this beer just a little bit? Because holy shit, I stopped listening to what you said. I'm gonna have to listen back and take back. Like, let's talk about this. This is killer.
It is pretty
good. I heard something about a stout. Everything that you said about a stout.
This is killer stout. Let's talk about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Blueberry cobbler.
Blueberry cobbler. Can you hear me now? Fantastic,
oh,
Curtis.
Excellent.
Can you hear me right now?
I can hear you now.
There we go. All right, there we go.
Are we doing a Verizon commercial? Or Sprint now.
He did go to Sprint. Yeah. funny. All right, so talk about this. I'm curious.
So Blueberry Cobbler Stout. So all of our sours are Brettanomyces. We age them. We obviously ferment them out. But at the same time, it's Blueberry Cobbler Mix. So we use Blueberry Cobbler Mix. You can make this in your house anytime you want. And everybody's been making it for fucking probably 20 years. But we just add it to a whirlpool, and that's what gets the flavor. Same thing with our cereal beers, like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Here at Pipe Dream, we're trying to be different. Like, I know there's a, you know, there's an IPA, there's a double IPA, there's a lager, there's a, you know, whatever. There's only two styles of beer. There's a lager, and then there's an ale. And when it comes down to it, I am trying to bring something new to our area. And I'm not saying nobody else has, because there's so many good breweries in this area that have done fantastic beers. I mean, look at 603. 603 is the oldest brewery, really, in our general area. And by general area, I mean Derry, Londonderry. And they're freaking awesome. And you have Kelsen. They're awesome. You have Rockingham. You have From the Barrel that is putting out awesome double IPAs and IPAs. You have Backyard Brewery. You have Blue Cat, the new boys on the street, which are great. They're putting out some new stuff. And, you know, forgive me if I miss anybody in my general area. Moonlight Meadery, great. They've been around forever.
Do we get Backyard?
Ancient Fire. Ancient Fire is fantastic right down the street from us. And the reason I bring them up is because there's so many good breweries that you can hit in this general area. Like, if you come up from wherever you're coming, there's literally 8 breweries. And you could jump over the river and hit Merrimack.
You don't have to drive to Canton.
You don't.
Exactly.
But, I mean, a lot of times people say, oh, can I get Treehouse? Can I get Trillium? It's like, you don't realize this general area is
good beer.
Phenomenal.
You know, that's good beer, too. And I'm not going to hate on
no,
that.
No.
I'm not making anything. According to the general public, I am not making anything that can compete with that. That's the God honest truth. I'm not going to lie to you. But in my opinion, my Naked Twister will compete with anybody of those. My Double Vision will compete with them. If I was to put that into a
blind taste test,
absolutely.
I would do it.
Yeah.
You can't look at it. You can't see it. Just drink it and tell me what you think.
Yeah, a lot of times we hear, hey, we do beer trades, right? And the fact of the matter is people always want they always want Treehouse, they want Trillium. I say to them, hey, you guys need to try some of these local cats, because I guarantee you they're brewing something just as good, if not better, than some of these guys. And you don't have to wait in line.
No, it's true. Absolutely. I mean, take an Uber, spend the day.
Yeah, there's so many brew buses in this area now, too.
I mean,
oh, really? Yeah.
Manchester Brew Bus,
yes.
Regulars here.
Yes.
Manchester Brew Bus, regulars here. They're great. They bring a bunch of people here, and they love it. They do a fantastic job of taking people around to all the local breweries. I mean, you know, even into Manchester, you're looking at like Great Rhythm or no, that's out in Great North. Great North is
Great
in Manchester.
North, yep. Yeah.
They got some great beers. So the area is like just populated with some amazing breweries.
Yeah.
So
the community here is getting accepting more and more breweries and brew buses, and there's a board. Was it Board and Brews in Manchester that you can play board games and have?
Oh yeah,
any type of craft brew you wanted, which is exploding. They're doing a great job over there.
Yeah.
So the industry is just exploding right now in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Period.
If there is one word to describe the what do we call it, Southern New Hampshire, because the seacoast is deciduous, all those cats over there.
Right.
If there's
awesome beer over there too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Awesome. Shout out, even Kittery, Todd Mott with Tributary. Right.
Hell yeah.
Podfather. But let's talk about if there's a single word to describe the Southern New Hampshire beer scene, what would it be?
A single phrase.
Let's give a single phrase. How about that?
How about behind the times? Like, I feel like we're behind everybody else. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. But in terms of beer culture, New Hampshire's
not.
I'm
going to say blowing up. Well, because it's.
No, it's good. I like
behind the times.
I like the
times.
The contrasting, right?
But no, we're behind the times. He's 100% right. But we are blowing up. We are. This area is
exploding.
You know, getting on the map.
Yeah.
You know, are we behind the times? I think
being sandwiched between Vermont and Maine, where they're so
in Mass. Mass. I mean,
we're right between
some
all
good
three
beers
of them.
In Mass.
So as far as like the Liquor Commission laws in New Hampshire, I think we're very far behind.
Correct. Yeah, I would agree with
so
that.
So there's a lot
sure.
of stuff we get handcuffed on that we would love to try and do. And
a great example is the Indie Couch Double IPA that we do here.
Absolutely.
Which was extremely popular.
One of our best sellers.
To be completely honest with you, really set us apart from not what we're in and what we're doing, but to really afford us to take the next step in experimenting.
Yeah.
I mean, that Indie Couch was our CBD-infused double IPA, mm-hmm. and that was the first beer ever produced in the state of New Hampshire that was CBD-infused. And the state of New Hampshire is handcuffing me on it. I can't do it. Even
so
though
you can sell it in the tap room, but you can't
no
distribute it, right?
There's no RSA saying I can't do it, but they're telling me not to do it.
Interesting.
It's against the law. That's against the law.
CBD is not illegal, but is 0.1 THC in it.
Right.
So they're giving us a problem over that 0.1
Interesting.
THC.
Yeah.
They want to do testing on it, which will never happen. But
right. So you have this.
They don't have the equipment to do it.
So you have this beer brewed. Right.
You did.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And
sold.
They basically said, you sold. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, right?
She gone.
She gone.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn
quick.
Good line right there.
Yeah. So hopefully New Hampshire kind of realizes, gets on the trend. They're going to see the people south of them are making a bunch of money, and I'm sure that it will come across. Who knows? Who knows, right? But so you said behind the times.
But like
you
John
guys
said, too, we're also exploding.
Right.
Like when I turned 21, there were maybe 20 breweries in the state of New Hampshire.
Right.
We're past 60 now.
Yeah,
70, I think. 70.
Yeah.
That's
per
great.
Capita.
That's ridiculous.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you guys seem to be one of the driving forces behind that. You guys are doing cereal. You're doing weird shit. Like, I don't mean to be like, you guys are doing weird shit, but you are. Like, I don't see many cereal stuff. Modern Times, maybe. Not Modern Times. Friggin' the ones out in Indiana. Lost their name. They're doing weird shit like that, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? But, like, what? Yeah, you know exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But you guys, let's talk about that. Why are you guys deciding to step out the boundary and do some weird shit?
I don't know. It's just the experimental thing of just having people come in and try new stuff is just fun, you know?
Well,
and hearing their vantage point.
I think it's fun just to experiment with stuff, too.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to do weird things and to try them out. And I think for John, it's wanting to set himself apart. I mean, definitely. I think we've done that.
I'm an extremely impatient person. I just want to have fun, man.
Yeah.
I opened a brewery. I'm the luckiest man alive. I really am. And I want to have fun with it.
Yep.
Because I was able to, because someone saw something in me that a lot of other people didn't, I just want to have fun with it. And that is the God honest truth. I want to do things that are different. I want to do things that are fun. I want to do things that are crazy. I want to just keep wowing our customers, wowing our membership that is 250 strong. I want to keep going with that. And I want to keep our employees be like, they come in here and they're like, what are you making today?
Yeah, what's next?
What are you putting in the beer today? Like, I don't know. I'm just going to just throw a bunch of cherries and chocolate and just see what happens. I don't know. And then put it on Brettanomyces and then put it in our cool ship and let it sit and then see what happens and then barrel age it and then put it in kegs and pour it out. Let's just have that.
Your brew house must smell like fucking amazing. When you're doing stuff like that,
absolutely,
Frank. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it wafts up into the office, which is up on the second floor here, and man, it's just all you can smell. One time I came in pretty hungover, and man, that hits you in the face, and it's like, whoa. You can't get away from it.
So I'm looking at the flight list, and we have one of everything here, so all 16, and then you guys do cans and you do crawlers.
Yeah, we do crawlers on the bar. Yeah, we do cans too, 16-ounce cans.
Rad. So I have a blueberry cobbler we talked about. Peanut butter chocolate stout. I'm drinking this like it's like my chaser with water right now because
10%.
Yeah, no shit.
Exactly.
you're killing it with these sours. I mean, with these sour stouts. There's not a lot of people who are doing that. Was that something that you had before, or was that something you dreamed up? Like, where was the inspiration for that?
The inspiration came from Tarted Darkness, the brewery out of, I think it's Sacramento, California, or Temecula. Forgive me for not remembering exactly where that brewery came out of, but the brewery is one of my favorite breweries in that area while I lived out there. And they had a beer called Tart of the Darkness. And I had that beer for the first time. And when I had that beer, I was just getting into sours, and I absolutely loved that beer. I fell in love with it because A, it was different.
Right.
B, it had so much depth and like just roasted malts and like different flavors, and like I was wowed by it. And from that day on, I was like, I want to create a beer that is kind of like that. And then came what I created was Funkin' Sour Stout. And our Funkin' Sour Stout is pitched on yeast that is 10 years old. I'm not going to say where I got that yeast, but it's 10 years old. I purchased it fair to square when we opened Pipe Dream Brewing. But it was 10 years old, and it's just something that is different. It's an Imperial Funkin' Sour Stout. Nobody was doing it in our area. In fact, the only people that are doing really like a solid cool ship program is Allagash out of Maine. Yep. And I mean, fantastic, absolutely unreal.
Oh, world-class sours.
Yeah,
and stuff,
for sure. Absolutely world-class sours coming out of there. And I'm not trying to be like them. I just want to be a portion of what they have accomplished. I just wanted to do something different with our beers. And I think sours are a huge thing. And one of the big things people always ask me is, aren't you worried about cross-contamination?
Or like destroying the brew house?
Yeah. And destroying what we're trying to do in general with just beer.
Yeah.
And if you clean your brew house, if you clean your fermenters, if you take care of your equipment, you're not going to have any issues.
Yeah, dude, I just wanted to
say,
that's
how I feel.
One of the... It's pristine in here, so you guys, kudos to that. Most of the breweries we go into are pristine like this. I don't know if they're brushing up when we come in, but it's awesome. So what are we on? How many barrel system? You have a canning line, right?
We're on a 15-barrel brew house. I have 30-barrel fermenters. I have a 15-barrel fermenter, 30-barrel Bright, 30-barrel hot liquor, 30-barrel cold liquor.
And room to expand, it looks like.
We have 10,000 square feet to expand into.
Yep.
We're currently in 10,000. Our building is 20. We are in the midst of buying the building, so we're going to have the whole entire building. We are working on a four-head Wild Goose canner, which is absolutely fantastic, which has been a lot of, you know, take us back to when we first started talking. Again, I have never worked in a commercial brewery, so I have never done any of this. And we bought a canner, and I literally jumped on it after a day of training from Wild Goose, which they did a fantastic job teaching me.
They did.
And teaching not just me, but, you know, there was a bunch of us, the actual team that was here. But I had to learn how to can. I had to learn how to, take our finished beer, our finished product, and put it in a can and present it to the public. And, again, that was another milestone that we had to just – attack and overcome. And everything since we've opened is just, and I've been saying this to every employee that's ever started here at Pipe Dream Brewing, you know, you need to adapt and you need to overcome. I don't care about your excuses. I don't care about what your problems are. Tell me what the solution is or what you think the solution is, and then let's work it out.
Come to me a solution, not a problem.
Right.
Exactly.
I get it.
Exactly. So, yes, to answer your question, I think I went off on a tangent, but yes, 15-barrel, 4-head Wild Goose, which I highly recommend.
And that's the canning line.
That is
just for people who don't know. You guys also self-distribute, right? So you distribute self-distribute.
That is correct.
So you guys aren't using Bellavance or any of the other guys around here.
Negative.
Talk about that. What's coming to them? I mean, Night Shift's killing it by self-distributing, and they've turned it into their own distributing company. Is that the plan, or is that something that you guys are just currently doing to, and you're killing it, obviously. I mean, I see you guys all over New Hampshire.
I mean, honestly, I mean, you look around, the best advice, the best information that you can get is when you look at other successful businesses. Okay. And that comes true with anybody, any business, anybody who's trying to open a business. For us, you know, since day one, we have always, you know, before we even opened Pipe Dream Brewing, we went to all the local breweries that were available to us at that time, and we looked at them and we said, hey, this is what we like, this is what we don't like, this is what we want to do different. Cool. And we still do this to this day one. And one of the breweries that really stood out to me, that I really wanted to, not necessarily, you know, copy them, but I wanted to be like, okay, they're doing something that I
want to emulate.
Yeah, exactly. You know, It was Night Shift Brewing out of Everett, Massachusetts. And I just, something hit me about them and how they presented themselves and how, and this was before they even started their distribution. This was just something that I noticed.
Before they even broke into the second rum and all that stuff.
Before they opened their second taps. Yep. Before, the whole thing. This was a while ago. And I don't even know what the date was, but it doesn't really matter. I saw something in them that I was like, you know what? I like what they're doing. And I wanted to go with my gut because I went with my gut so far. So let's just keep going with my gut. And, you know, I was like, I don't want to pay someone to distribute my beer when I can go buy a van. I'm a cheap bastard. I mean, that's the first thing. Like, if you own a business, I'm a cheap bastard. I want to know where I can save money. I know where I can make my money back quicker, or I can put that money towards my employees to service the customers. Like, how can I do that? You know, how can I make it so it benefits Pipe Dream Brewing and everybody who works for us? And self-distro was like, on the point, like, I want to hire a sales guy, which happens to be one of my best friends who joined the Marine Corps with me, who I trust and love.
Shout out to Nate.
Yeah, Nate.
What's up, Nate? Nate Dog's killing it.
Nate's
killing it. Absolutely killing it.
Because it's not easy. It's
all grassroots.
You have to drive around. Yeah. And so you guys are only in New Hampshire, correct?
Only in New Hampshire. That is 100% correct. And nobody knew our name when he first really got the van. We bought the van. Pipe Dream bought the van. We gave it to him. He's like, hey, here's your van. This is what you need to do.
Sweet.
Sell beer. Good luck. You know? Kicked him out the door. Here's a bunch of beer that's in the house, warehouse. Kick him out the door. Go sell it. And, of course, I helped. Of course, you know, a bunch of us helped.
It's your baby. You have to. Yeah.
And, you know, it was tough. You walk into an establishment and be like, hey, my name is blah, blah, blah. I am the owner of blah, 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 blah. And I would love to have my beer at your establishment. Well, that person's looking at you like, why would I come to you when I have these two huge collaborants coming at me with all these beers, with all these kind of kickers?
And they're giving me free coolers and all this shit.
Oh, yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. But, you know, what really helped us is that we didn't distro for the first year.
Okay.
And
you kind of built up a name.
We built up a name. We built up a customer base. So people knew who we were. And then those people reached out to the local places and said, hey, why don't you get Pipe Dream here? Why don't you get Pipe Dream here? So when we were ready to go out, our first huge account, which was within the first month of us starting to distro, was 99 Restaurant. All the Southern 99 restaurants have our West East IPAs, their sole IPA on tap.
Which is your
flagship IPA. Which is Citra, Amarillo, and Chinook. It's a nice, easy drinking. It's my West to East. It's my take on an East Coast and a West Coast.
Hence the name.
Slam it together. Yeah. You get good grapefruit, citrus, pine from the West Coast. You're going to get a little bit of haziness. Again, I don't filter, so it's going to be a little bit of hazy. But again, it's going to be clear because I don't go for that hazy, hazy, hazy look.
Yeah.
And is that one of the beers you've been brewing the longest?
That is the beer that I've brewed the longest. That was the first recipe that I ever made.
So that's your baby, right?
By myself.
That's your.
Yeah.
We just brewed a double batch of that yesterday, and she's ripping right now.
She's ripping.
If you can look over there, she's making a mess.
So, John, where do you get your inspiration for beer? Is it something a lot of times you read? I read books about musicians all the time, and they keep a book by their bed, and they wake up and write down lyrics, and they fall back asleep. Is it something like that, food driven, or you're like, I'm just spacing out, and I fucking thought of this amazing recipe. Like, what is it? How do you think of a recipe?
I'm usually on my motorcycle, going for a ride, just thinking, or I'm going for a run. That's usually kind of how I come up with, like, different hop ideas, or, like, I'm continuously researching hops and reading the descriptions and trying to find out, like, you know, what would go best with what, or, you know, like all the Australian hops that come out recently, like not recently, it's been a while, but you know, the Australian hops are fairly new to the game. Like Galaxy, everybody's trying to get Galaxy. Everyone's trying to get Galaxy.
Of course, right?
And I love, don't get me wrong, I love Galaxy, but you're an idiot if you think that Galaxy is the only hop that you can get that profile from. You know, you can get it from Topaz, Vic's Secret, and you can mix those at certain times in the boil to get the exact same flavor as Galaxy. There's so many different things that you can do with hops to get what you're looking for. So I'm always reading and learning and experimenting. You need to experiment. You know, people say like, oh, you don't have a test pilot system. bullshit, I have a test pilot system. I got a 15-barrel system that I have, or a 15-gallon system that I have as a home brewer. You know, like, I have one.
So you're still home brewing.
I do it on the side
every once in a
while. Not as much as I used to. Most of our test batches are, we do it into a 7-barrel now.
Okay.
So we just brew in our 15 into our 7-barrel, which is in the other room.
Yeah.
So we still do it. We just do it in a little bit of a bigger scale. But I'm always testing out. I'm always doing something a little different.
Yep.
I hope that answers the
for sure the
general question.
Yeah. All right. Let's go around the table. What is a brewery that is doing it right, in your opinion? Other than Pipe Dream.
Me first?
There's lots of them.
I mean, I said it, but...
Not in the southern New Hampshire area.
It's not... I mean,
yeah. In Night Shift.
So it's not Night Shift.
Yeah.
I like, in Cambridge, Mass, Lamplighter.
Lamplighter, awesome. Oh,
great.
Yeah, Rabbit, Killer.
Unbelievable IPAs, and they got a wide range of stuff. And they're still, you know, relatively young.
Yes.
So they have a lot of room to grow, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, season 3 guests coming up, so.
Yeah, so definitely one of them.
I'm going to say Cambridge Brewing Company.
Great choice as well.
They have great food, like a great little spot. They don't do, like, a huge, like, I don't think they're, like, distributing or anything like that on a huge scale, but...
but when you get their stuff, it's awesome.
Yeah, and they have a great variety of stuff. Same thing with Burlington Beer Company up in Vermont.
Yeah.
Huge variety of stuff, and they're very experimental. Just killing it right now.
Great breweries. I also like, Goodfire. I don't know if you heard of Goodfire Brewing.
No.
Goodfire Brewing up in Maine.
Yeah.
Great little brewery. I mean, they've been around for about 2 years now. Crazy amount of followers. I mean, that area is crazy. I want to say a couple different ones, not just Goodfire. I mean, I really like BBC, like you said.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by Foam. Foam is an awesome spot too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me just to say one. There's so freaking many, and I know you said the southern area. And again, I have to give a shout out. Blue Cat, Backyard Brewery, 603.
Yep.
They're just Kelson, From the Barrel, Rockingham. Those guys built this area for us to come in. And, you know, there's so much good beer in this area. And if you haven't been to this area,
we're literally 5 exits up on 93.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like
25 minutes.
Yeah.
30
exactly.
minutes, maybe. You know, if there's traffic, man, I'm sorry. But if there's no traffic, it's easy.
Yeah, but it's on your way to the lake, so it's like perfect. All right. So how are you guys impacting your overall community? Maybe like the southern New Hampshire area, the Londonderry in particular, but like how are you guys helping other breweries or maybe even the community as a whole?
So since we've opened, Blue Cat was one of the newer ones, and also Backyard Brewery was one of the opens. And both those breweries in our general area, not when I say, you know, our general area was literally right down the street. You know, we if anybody opens in Londonderry, Manchester, Derry area, that's close around, we want support. And we have a great membership here at Pipe Dream Brewing, and one of the things that membership brings
is that beer community.
We want beer community. And, for example, when Backyard opened, I got all my members. I invited all my members to meet me at Pipe Dream Brewing, and we all went over to Backyard for the grand opening.
That's
and
awesome.
And there was a lot of us there that was there to support the new brewery in the area. And I personally, you know, the owner of Pipe Dream Brewing, bought every single one of my members a beer at Backyard. We did the same thing at Blue Cat, and we would do the same thing for another brewery that opened in this area. I would still do it. I don't care how many members I have. I would do it. And, you know, I want to support the general area because, you know, to be frank with you.
Competition brews good beer.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Absolutely.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's not like as a business decision, I am taking you to another brewery. And you're going to tell all your friends about it. And then your friends are going to go brewery hopping in our area. So you're not going to just hit that brewery. You're going to hit all the breweries in the area. So you're going to help the general brewing area. Like, that's great. Like, that's fantastic, you know. So, no, we try to support as much as we can. You know, Am I perfect? Of course not. Nobody's perfect, but you know, we're trying. I mean, we're busy. We're trying to run a business too. You know, I can't do everything, but and not everybody at Pipe Dream can do everything, and not their breweries can't do everything either. Exactly. And I get that, but you know, we're all trying to help each other. I want to firmly believe that everyone's trying to help each other in this area.
Yeah. And I mean, it's policy here, isn't it? That like anybody that works a tap room, we encourage anybody that comes in to like not just stick with us, but like to visit everybody in the area. You know,
That's awesome.
We're trying to encourage that beer culture that, you know, that is so healthy in Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, on the West Coast. Yeah. You know, we're trying to build that here in New Hampshire. So, you know, anybody that walks in, we'll tell them, like, you know, we love your business. We want you to come back, but there are eight other guys in the area. So, like, take the day. Like,
show the love, baby.
Yeah, man.
Show the love. Show the love.
We've learned just through experience that our success helps other people succeed. Their success helps us succeed. I mean,
John's success has actually led to other breweries opening. They said that they saw John do it. Why can't we do it? Like,
I don't know if that's a compliment or a backhand.
A little bit of both.
I take it as 100% compliment.
Branch and Blade came over and they said that to John, like, hey, we probably wouldn't be open if it wasn't for you. And we love supporting those guys. Yeah. And, like, they always come in here. And
it's
we
the home
like
brewer sense of it. Yeah. The home brewer. Like, the fact that I came from just being a home brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, dude, Braden Blanche, bomb beer, too.
Yeah, they got great stuff.
This area is killing it. Let's talk about what's been a humbling moment at the brewery. Is there something that, you know, you said your only feedback you guys get now is from social media. It's, you know, sometimes people are going to, you ask, oh, what do you think of the beer? Everyone's going to say, oh, it's delicious, right? It's kind of the home brewer mentality, right? But then they go back and they talk shit behind their back. What's been a humbling moment?
Humbling moment. Let me think. You can think anything humbling?
I'm trying to...
I got one. I was just trying to put a picture from Pipe Dream Brewing. So if you jump on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, this is actually taken by you, Frank. One of the most humbling moments I think I've ever had in my entire life, you know, in general, but in Pipe Dream's birth, was when we did a beach party here in February.
Oh, that's rad looking. Yeah, that's rad looking.
And we dumped 10 yards or 20 yards of sand inside of our tap room to basically create a beach and, you know, jumped up the temperature to 85, I think it was. And, you know, to see kids, and I have a bunch of other pictures, and, you know, we can see them online. We had so many kids here just doing sandcastles and looking at their parents like, holy crap, like this, we're on the beach, Mom. We're on the beach. I'm drinking soda and I'm eating candy and chips and you guys are having fun. And I can stay up till 10 o'clock at night. Like, what the heck's going on? And people are having so much fun here. And I think that was my most humbling moment that day, because I looked at it and I was like, holy crap, like, we have created something. And I say we because it's not me. It's everybody that works for Pipe Dream, that takes care of Pipe Dream. And it's never been just me. And I hate when people say, John, look what you've created, because it's not me. It's not what I've created. It's really what everybody else has contributed to and worked hard at. I mean, Frank works hard every day. Curtis works hard every day when he's here. It's not just me. Fuck, if anything, I work harder. I work less hard now. I don't work as hard as I used to. So, you know, to see what
but
we
that's have, a sign of something good, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. You know, I can focus myself on something a little bit different, but it's just amazing and extremely humbling, you know, what Pipe Dream has turned into. And I'm not a guy to bring tears to my eyes, but if I was, I guess I'd cry like a little bitch. I don't know. It's just amazing. It really is. I mean, the customers, the love that we have, the membership program that we have, and you asked me to like kind of get in the membership, and I don't really promote the membership. I don't want to promote it. I don't want to put it on social media. Like, it's a membership. You want, if you're ever interested in coming on the membership, come down to Pipe Dream Brewing and we'll tell you, but it's not something that I promote because I don't want everybody to join.
Right. We don't want them just to be members. We want to have like a connection with them. You know,
it's
you
like family. Yeah. You're not a member. You're a family.
Exactly.
We know every single member here.
That's awesome.
By name, maybe not by name, but if you come in here, we'll recognize you and be like, okay, yeah, he's a member.
Member.
No, right. I don't remember your name, but I know you. Yeah. We had a beer together, or you know, you came in with your kids, and your kids loved the popsicles that we serve here. You know. You know, we give all the kids pops. We encourage family. We encourage dogs. Like, bring your dogs.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's raining outside. Bring your dog. Like, we want that sense of family here. We want that sense of pride.
Mm. True. Excellent. All right, so let's talk. We've kind of figured out, like, what you guys are doing right now. What's for the future? What's happening next?
So right over yonder on the other side over there with all on the other tanks, we're working on a front, a new area up there for like more high-end events and stuff. And
so like private gathering?
Yeah, another bar over there, private functions and stuff like that. We're really excited about that. So we're putting up some lighting, a nice garage door, and some reclaimed wood over there. So that's something on the tap room side we're working on. As far as beer, John could probably tell you that.
As far as beer, I mean, in general, we're always trying to be ahead of what's around us. We want to be different, you know, since day one, since the beginning of this conversation, we want to be different. And there's a lot of beers coming out, a lot. Cotton Candy Double IPA was the first thing off my mind that's sitting and fermenting right now, and it's going to taste like cotton candy, baby. And it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be 8%.
I wish we could sip that.
I know.
We might be able to. I know a guy. We started lagering. Lagering is a huge thing.
Controlling temperature and everything in that nature. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So we actually learned from a brewery in Germany, Nittenmauer, which was we did a collab with them for our Fest beer. They came out here. We did a beer together, and he taught me how to lager a beer German style, purity laws, the whole thing, 9 yards.
Can you talk about that process in 45 seconds or less?
45 seconds or less. It's a step mash. Real complicated, not going to take 45 seconds. I fermented it. We pitched yeast at 55 degrees.
Which is important for lagering.
Yep.
Yes. The big thing that not everybody does is that we close all our valves and we let it self carbonate right off the bat. Okay. So it doesn't matter, you know, all that sulfate that's right off the beginning doesn't matter. Just let it go right into the beer, let it sit. And then we slowly step mat. We slowly drop temperature. After that, I'm not gonna say anymore. But
No, perfect.
That is a big difference. I mean, you can ferment out a beer if you have fresh like third gen yeast, or maybe second gen yeast. If you have enough of it, you can ferment out a lager it in 6 weeks, which is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge, because usually it takes a lot longer. Jack's Abbey would be able to
I know they would. Yeah.
Teach me a few things, which I would love.
We can get you in contact. We know them.
So. I would love to go over it.
Those again, cats at
anybody who
and
listens
Jack's
to
Abbey.
This
yeah, yeah.
Com- right. anybody listens to this that could teach me or teach Pipe Dream something, I would from the bottom of my heart I would really really appreciate that, because I'm learning every single day. I mean, again, I've never worked at a brewery before, so you know, we're always up for more information. Please tell me. Tell me what I can do better, you know, and I want to. You know, I'm the first one to admit that I'm not perfect. So any breweries out there that want to come in and be like, hey, you can make your West East better this way, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Hell yeah. Come in. Yeah. Let's do this.
Cheers. Yeah. All right. So we know what the future is going to be holding. Let's talk about
good.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's talk about what's at home. What are you drinking at home?
Question.
I just had right before I came here, I had a BBC Beekeeper.
Nice.
And to be completely honest with you, I didn't like their Beekeeper.
It's all right. I'm gonna be honest here.
I've liked every beer they've had.
Yeah.
I didn't like their Beekeeper.
It's disappointing because I saw that and I was like, oh, I'm kind of excited to send it.
I'll give you one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all I'll right. give you one.
I don't know if I need one now. Yeah.
They're not. It's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not. You know. They've built themselves up to such a scale.
Of course.
That beer would be probably good here, but it wouldn't be good.
To their standard. It's not what you expected.
It's not what I expected from them. It was good, but it wasn't Yeah. Great. That you know what, so I, you know what I had recently, though, yeah. though, that you brought to my house the other day? Night Shift's Beehive.
Oh, yeah.
The Beehive. That was extremely interesting to me because as a brewer, I tasted a shit ton of honey malt.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was a lot different than what I've tasted before. Mm. You know, they say Beehive obviously is honey, but, you know, I don't think they actually use honey. I think they use honey malt. And I think it's. I think it was fantastic. Yeah. I thought it was different. I thought it was great.
It was awesome.
What you drinking, Curtis?
Yeah, of course.
What am I drinking?
Everything.
I do drink a little bit of everything.
You just put a beer in front of him, he'll drink it. Doesn't matter what it is.
Actually, Scotch boy, too.
Oh,
there we go. There we go.
Dude, I have been drinking a lot of whiskey lately. But no, like, I actually I polished off a 4-pack of deciduous. Couple of deciduous sours.
Yeah. Real
deciduous
good guys.
Is yeah. Recently, yeah. they got some fantastic sours.
Great
over
beer,
there.
Great
yeah.
beer.
Shout out to Deciduous.
So yeah,
their research, fuck.
Oh,
so good. I say fuck in a good way.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's really good. But yeah, no, I just picked up some BBC myself. So looking forward to trying some of that. They got a couple different like really interesting stouts that. Sound phenomenal, so
it's stout season, baby. So
I know, so I, you know, I'm all for it. So I'm hoping that the beer itself lives up to the way it sounds because they sound phenomenal.
Yeah, Frankie.
Let's see. Night Shift. I've had a bunch of those lately at the Left Brain, which is like a sour IPA, which is really really good. Yep. Surprisingly, then Idle Hands made a beer for Big Poppy. It's yep. called 34 or something like that. It was. Whew, it blew me away. Nice. So that's the stuff I've been, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, do we have a guilty pleasure beer? You mentioned Natty Ice at the beginning of the interview.
Guilty pleasure, huh?
Everybody knows mine.
Is yours Corona?
Yeah!
Yes! It's so funny. Emily, who's not here, is the co-host. Is her guilty pleasure is Corona Light.
Corona Light. Yeah, that's Corona Light.
He's going to be so pumped to hear that.
I can't Corona quite Light. Go Corona Light, but the Coronas, man, with a lime during the summertime, there's just... Oh man!
Fuck! Corona Light.
And I blame John because John got me into it. So.
So you crush Corona Light.
You can drink
summer.
12 of them and yeah. be okay.
I
you know.
I know. Frank, what about yourself?
Probably just a Bud Light or okay. a Coors Light. I mean, every once in a while, you know, go out to a concert or something, you just want something light. And yeah.
So I remember coming home from the Marine Corps, coming home from Afghanistan, and going to hanging out with you in Boston.
Yeah.
And he legitimately was allergic to yeast.
Yes.
Brewer's yeast,
yes.
So he could not drink beer.
For like 3 or 4 years, yeah.
Oh, that
was terrible.
Yeah. Fucking crazy.
So we'd drink 3 Coors Light and just vomit.
Die, yeah. Horribly. Where are you guys located? You guys Londonderry, but let's physical location, social media, so some of our listeners can come and check you guys out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're right in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Londonderry, New Hampshire. Sorry, I drank a few beers. 49 Harvey Road. We have social media, Pipe Dream Brewing on Instagram, Pipe Dream Brewing on Facebook. Definitely check us out. Our Facebook, our Instagram, we put all our events. We have a lot of events.
Yeah, you got
a lot
cool
of live
shit
music,
going on. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of live music. We love to support the local area because the local area supports us. So, for instance, tomorrow we have our craft fair, our annual craft fair. And there's going to be 18 different vendors here, doing all kinds of different stuff. So, in general, we support everybody around us when it comes to our vets, when it comes to, you know, the police, the fire departments. So we do a lot of stuff for all of them. Please check us out with the events. If anything, you don't even have to love beer for our events because we have so much different stuff.
Can I just say something? I'm looking through the list again.
No,
you guys
no,
have
no,
a beer
no, you,
for
you can't
everyone.
Say anything. I'm sorry. I'm this is your podcast. This is your podcast.
Fuck we want.
You can't say anything.
You guys truthfully have a beer for everyone. We see the house lager. Got IPAs. You got pumpkin ale. Like,
yeah, that's a big thing we hear. We don't want to have somebody come in and say, hey, I like this beer. Do you have something like it? We want to have something like it. We want to keep them happy. We want to keep them back, coming back. A lot of people come in to a brewery and want wine. Yeah. I don't know why we would do that, but we want to keep them happy.
You could give them this cobbler.
So I hit
the blueberry. Yeah, I'm serious. Exactly. That's phenomenal.
I wish
yeah.
we had What the Fruit on.
Yeah,
right
we have
now.
What the
if
Fruit.
If we had What the Fruit on.
It's basically
wine.
a fruit
wine.
Beer
yeah.
that tastes sort of like wine. But Yeah, that's we want to have something for everybody. And
so
we
you truthfully, when you say we have a beer for everyone, you truthfully have
absolutely
a beer for everyone.
We have 16
try.
Taps.
Yeah, we try.
So
we,
if you can't
we do our best.
Yeah.
We can't please everybody. We've tried.
No, but I mean, you're doing a hell of a good job.
One
I
of the most rewarding things, though, is coming in somebody who likes just light beer, yep. and then having them try their first sour or first IPA, and going, "Wow, this is amazing!"
Yeah, you get to introduce them to other varieties.
People come in all the time. Like, "Yeah, I had my first sour here, and now I'm a huge sour drinker. I go out to places."
Definitely,
that's one of the most rewarding things. We want to have that. We want to open the door for people's taste buds to try different things.
Yeah. That's a good future question for you to on your podcast.
What's
what
that?
He just did right there.
Which is,
while you've been opening a brewery or while you've owned a brewery, what is one of the things that one of your customers
Oh, what's the
say?
Most rewarding thing?
Yeah,
yeah
what's
yeah,
the
yeah.
most rewarding
yeah,
thing
sort of
that your customers have said to you?
Yeah. All right, let's go around. What's the most
question?
Rewarding thing?
Fuck.
I'm not cutting any of this audio, by the way.
Yeah, people come in and try the sours for the first time, and they just
sours
love
is a good
sours.
One. Yeah. The best one for me...
Come on, that
I can't believe you were a home brewer once.
Oh, that's nice.
That's probably the best one that I've gotten.
That's really cool.
That's nice.
And I said, "Have you tried my beer?" And he said, "Yeah, I loved it." And I said, "Well, that's good, but which one did you try?" And I'm not gonna go any further than that because it wasn't that great after that.
First time somebody asked me to sign one of my can labels.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That was also a humbling moment for me. Like, you know, like I do it just to have fun, and I put out artwork that, you know.
Curtis, what'd your art teacher say to you?
Oh, so the reason I never got my degree
this is
in
good.
Art school is I was in my last semester, and I was taking my portfolio class, and the guy that was running the class told me that my artwork was not marketable.
What's his name?
Wow.
I can't even remember.
What are you most proud of here, Pipe Dream?
Sure.
I guess I have to go first. What I'm most proud of? I guess what I'm most proud of is, you know, the fact that I don't have a college degree. I don't have, you know, any kind of brewing degree, or I didn't go to school to become a brewer. I've created or for business or anything like that, and I've created a business that is very successful. I have created an opportunity for others to jump on board with that success, and I'm able to, or Pipe Dream is able to support their lives and support their well-being and I guess I'm just, in general, thankful that the business or the pipe dream, the dream that I've had for a long time, 10 years, 12 years, is successful. And hopefully it continues to be successful.
So you're able to say your pipe dream has become a reality. As cliche as that sounds.
I think I can say that. I just... It scares me every day, man. It scares me every day that I have... There's people that work for Pipe Dream.
You're supporting people.
Are, you know, that's their income. You know, if Pipe Dream was to go under, you know, they wouldn't have any money coming in. And nor would I. It's just... I guess... I'm just extremely thankful for John Batchelor because he's the one that is just – he saw something in me that I don't think I saw in myself, and he pushed me, and he said, "John, you can do this, and don't be a bitch and do it."
Did he say that?
Literally said that.
Yeah, he did.
If you knew old man John.
Yeah, he did.
You know that
John
he literally
here.
Said that.
He did. I wish he was here too. And trust me, he is – you know – He's my father-in-law here, maybe soon. Who knows? But
is that like a spoiler alert?
No, because
can we? We're releasing this in 2 weeks. Like, oh,
go ahead, release it.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole everybody already knows, so it's cool.
Tori, if you're listening,
that's right.
Tori, if you're listening, I'm gonna marry your best friend. Her best friend's her sister. That'd be weird.
That would be.
That'd be so weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be so weird.
Wait, is she going to find out on our podcast? This is amazing.
This is how we know she listened or not.
Yeah, that's right. This is the best news ever.
I'll bet you Pipe Dream Brewing she doesn't listen.
All right, I'll take you on that bet. What's her social media?
There's no way she made it this far into the episode.
Yeah. She's like, no, I hear him talking. Oh, my God.
Now, to be completely honest with you, you know, the most thankful I am is John Batchelor, because there's no way Pipe Dream Brewing would be here right now if it wasn't for him. He didn't
have to believe in you. He did.
He didn't have to. Yeah. You know, he just, John, let's do this. And I was like, what? And we did it. Yeah. Pipe Dream would not be here if it wasn't for him.
That's cool.
So, doesn't matter how good a beer that I made. Doesn't fucking matter what I made. It wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So.
Cool.
It's true.
So what Frank. We're proud of, obviously, this guy, who all of it, John, everything he's accomplished and all the decision-making he's done. And just the CAA building it from nothing over these 2.5 years, just how big we are now. Just insanely proud of this kid and what he's done. And just proud to see people happy here, you know, just giving people happiness and just making them have a good time. And people who come in and say, hey, this tap room is like nothing I've ever seen. Like, it's such a relaxed vibe, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of having that, and just in New Hampshire, there's really nothing like our tap room. So if you haven't checked us out, come into the tap room, and you've only tried us, you know, picking us up at a store, come to the tap room.
Location again?
49 Harvey Road in Londonderry. We're right near the Manchester Airport. You know, the planes fly right over the top of us.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So once the doors open, you can kind of see the flights fly right overhead. We have a heads up. IPA we made just kind of to encompass that. And just being come in, you know, try us out, and just it's great to see the smiling faces and people trying beers for the first time and opening up their eyes, a whole different type of beer. Just I'm proud of that.
So I guess I would say that I'm proudest of being able to say that I'm part of this thing that is Pipe Dream Brewing. I'm proud to be part of the most kick-ass crew that has, in my opinion, ever been assembled to run a brewery. But also proud to say that, like, we do God's work here. You know, we bring joy to the people, and I love it.
It's awesome.
The nectar of the gods.
That's right.
That's awesome. All right, so we drink, I would say, what do you say, 85-90% of this beer?
Oh, yeah, it's mostly gone.
We did pretty good.
We'll finish it here.
We didn't get weird. Quicker. We didn't get too weird.
Oh, we're finishing that.
We're finishing. No, don't worry. All right, so thank you guys so much for taking some time out of your day. I know you probably started pretty early today. But
well, thank you for reaching out to us.
No problem. This is great. Man. All right, cool. Well, thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Make me see where I've been. Time, been down to time. Time, been down to time.